outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call them man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Wednesday, October the 10th, 2025, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles. You are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, of course, as we like to say on this program, we don't wish our enemies well, folks, because when we have enemies who have dedicated themselves to our utter destruction, them doing well means that we're doing very poorly. And by that we mean just go and watch one of the Terminator films and you'll get a pretty good idea of what we're talking about. Anyway, folks, it's been a few weeks since we've been together. I've been unavoidably tied up here, trying to tie up the loose ends here before winter comes crashing down on us like a ton of bricks, as the saying goes. And even though, obviously, we haven't been here for a few weeks, it doesn't mean that there isn't lots to talk about. There's plenty to talk about, and we will be doing that hopefully today. If you tuned in, folks, to hear good news and to get cheered up and to not hear negative things and complaining, you should probably just go somewhere else. I'll just warn you ahead of time. We'll try to keep the negativity to a dull roar, as the saying goes. But nevertheless, folks, you know, in the time that has elapsed since the last time we were together, the world has only gotten worse, and we have only gotten closer to midnight. And it didn't have to be that way, folks. This is one of the points that we try to make often on this program, is that we had the option, we had total control over this situation. We still do to some extent. The problem is that the people just won't get their act together. They won't get on the same page, and they will not deal with this situation in the manner that is required. Of course, what we're talking about, folks, is, as we said before, this seek and destroy mission that one particular group of people, the non-Gentiles, have against us, that they have had for thousands of years. There's never been a moment ever since they either crash-landed here from some other planet or they crawled out of the Earth, something like that. There's never been a moment where they have not sought our destruction for the simple reason of who we are, folks, as Gentiles. And this is a fact that, unfortunately, not many people are aware of these days. Now, the reason that I decided to start off the program with this topic, folks, is that I was reminded by one of the listeners of something, sent me a paragraph that was written by one of the most important doctors of the Christian Church, St. John Chrysostom, and he writes as follows: "The synagogue is worse than a brothel. It is a den of scoundrels and a lair of wild beasts, a temple of demons, a hideout for brigands and debauchees. A cavern of devils. It is a criminal assembly of Jews, a place of meeting for the assassins of Jesus Christ. A house worse than a drinking shop, a den of thieves, a house of ill fame, a dwelling of iniquity, a refuge of devils, a gulf and an abyss of perdition. And I would say the same things about the souls of the Jews. As for me, I hate the synagogue, and I hate the Jews for the same reason. That was St. John Chrysostom, folks. That wasn't David Duke or former Iranian President Ahmadinejad. It wasn't Nick Fuentes. Who else? Who else are they after? Obviously, it wasn't Tucker Carlson. But here, folks, we have one of the most important voices within Christendom. And, you know, if he were here with us today, I would say, St. John, tell us how you really feel. Don't pull your punches. You know, don't speak so, you know, cryptically. Tell us how you really feel. Yes, folks, this is one of the most important figures in the formation of the Christian church, and as such, the formation of modern Western civilization. And there's no middle ground with him at all. He, believe me, folks, he's taking seriously that commandment by Jesus Christ where he said, either be hot or be cold, but if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Okay. Well, folks, this is the spirit that we should have adopted. And not just since 1948 with the creation of the Jewish state, but, you know, I guess technically speaking, officially speaking, since Crucifixion Friday. I mean, that was the final nail in the coffin, no pun intended, that basically sealed the deal on this whole Hebraic experiment. Okay, this whole thing beginning with Genesis and ending with whatever the last book of the Old Testament is, you know, that was their test. That was their final exam to see how much all of this supposed godliness and goodliness and them being the chosen people and all the rest of that, this was the final exam, and obviously they failed it miserably. Or else, folks, they didn't fail it at all. Maybe they did exactly what they were supposed to do in rejecting Jesus Christ, because his teachings ran so counter to the teachings of Moses and the previous patriarchs. I bring this up, folks, because I've been carrying on an extended little back and forth debate with a good friend of mine. He sent me a video of one of these stinking rabbis from Neturei Karta who's doing his usual shtick of saying that Judaism and Zionism are not the same thing, and that authentic Judaism opposes Zionism and opposes a Jewish state, when none of this is true, folks. And I told my friend, I said, well, you know, look, I've commented on this particular topic somewhere between a million and a billion times over the last 20 years, and I have called these people out for the fakes and the frauds that they are. They're Neturei Karta rabbis, okay? They're not anti-Zionist, okay? They are anti-Zionist at this particular time because the Messiah, their Moshiach, hasn't arrived yet, and so, therefore, it's an issue of timing. And, you know, folks, despite the fact that we have spent so much time uncovering this and using the words of Neturei Karta themselves to prove it, they say, you know, once the Moshiach, the Messiah, arrives, then we'll have our Jewish state, and whatever we have to do to have it will be perfectly fine, which obviously includes killing all of the people in the region, the Palestinians, Egyptians, Jordanians, Lebanese, Syrians, whoever. And folks, it doesn't catch on. It doesn't resonate. No matter how many times you say it, you still get asked, you know, well, you know, what about these rabbis? And that's not the topic of the discussion, folks. This little back and forth that I was having with this good friend of mine, we got into this topic of the Old Testament. And he said, you know, it seems like, I almost swallowed my tongue, folks. He said, it seems like you're not a big fan of the Old Testament. And I said, wow, you picked that up now. It only took about 20 years. But anyway, my position, folks, going back to what I said before, just a few moments ago about the Jews failing the test on Crucifixion Friday. No, folks, that's not true. They did exactly what they were programmed to do. If you go back and honestly read the Old Testament, the Torah, whatever you want to call it, and you see what they were commanded by Moses to do, specifically to reject and to kill anybody who arises among them claiming to be a prophet, who preaches something that is different from what Moses preached, then you're to stone him to death. It says you must purge the evil from amongst you. So again, folks, we find ourselves in this position right now because the things that we should have been told, not since 1948, folks, but since 33 AD, the things that we should have been told by the people we trusted, they didn't tell us these things. They fused together these two opposing ideologies, one of Judaism and one of Christianity. And as a result of this, folks, this deadly disease, this virus, as Tucker Carlson accurately called it in one of his recent programs, this virus was allowed to exist and incubate and multiply and get stronger and more deadly over time. And this is the reason now why we find ourselves in the situation that we're in. You know, we brought this teeny tiny little alligator into the home, known as Christianity, known as Western civilization, thinking that, this thing's not going to cause any harm. Look, it's just a little lizard. Forgetting that it's going to become this alligator, and eventually we will lose control over it. And that's basically where we are right now, folks. And, of course, this is the thrust of the topic that is covered on this website and on the accompanying program. I just want to read a few things, folks, here. Given this business of the Old Testament, you know, and how we're told that it's irrelevant in understanding, you know, violent Jewish behavior, whether it's in the Middle East or whether it's in Milwaukee, folks, wherever they are, it's the same thing. They may not be bombing neighborhoods in Milwaukee, but their aggressive and anti-Gentile attitudes makes itself clear in other ways. So I just want to read, please bear with me, this will probably take a few moments here, but, you know, for all of those out there who are easily seduced by these voices who say, you know, it's because I'm a Jew that I oppose what's going on in Palestine. It's because I'm a Jew that I'm against Israel and AIPAC. No, folks, I'm sorry. It's not because these people are Jews. If they are genuine, if they really do feel the way that they say that they feel, it's not because of their Judaism, it's in spite of it. It's because they have rejected the teachings of their Judaism that say, go in and kill everything, leave nothing alive, okay? We're just going to read a few of these, folks. These come out of principally just one chapter of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, really, which is the most bloody of all of them. Let's see, Deuteronomy 2:34. At that time, we took all the towns and completely destroyed them. Men, women, and children, we left no survivors. Deuteronomy 3:6. We completely destroyed them, as we had done with Sihon, king of Heshbon, destroying every city, men, women, and children. Deuteronomy 4:38. And the Lord your God will drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and bring you into their land and give it to you as an inheritance. Now please, folks, tell me how Zionism and Judaism are two opposing things. Let me read this to you again. Deuteronomy 4:38. And the Lord your God will drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and will bring you into their land and give it to you as an inheritance. Is this not what happened in 1948, folks, and what has been happening every day since then? Okay. Let's see, Deuteronomy 7:1, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to possess and drives out before you the many nations, then you must destroy them totally, make no treaty with them, and show them no mercy. Deuteronomy 7:16. You must destroy all the peoples that the Lord your God gives over to you. Do not look upon them with pity, and show no respect for their religions. Deuteronomy 7:22. Let's see. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. The Lord will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. Think about our own society today, folks, our own culture. Look at the manner in which, especially the young people, have just been completely thrown into confusion. They don't know if they're animal or vegetable. Okay, they don't know if they're one of the 72 genders that are discussed within Judaism. Yes, 72 different genders, folks, not just male and female. 72 different. Okay. Well, let's see, into great confusion until they are destroyed. He will give their kings into your hands, and you will wipe out their names from under heaven. No one will be able to stand against you, and you will destroy them all. Deuteronomy 11:23, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. For the Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. Okay, folks, for those of you out there who say that it's wrong to be against the Jews, it's wrong to be quote-unquote anti-Semitism, I'm reading this thing here right out of the Jews' holy book, Deuteronomy 11:23. And it says, the Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you upon the whole land wherever you go. Is this not what has happened for the last 3,000 years? Okay? So don't blame us, the Gentiles, okay, for having the allergic reaction that we do against these people. Within their own scripture, it's telling them that wherever they go, people will deal with them with dread. Okay, let's keep going, folks, because I think we're making some good headway here. Deuteronomy 12:29, the Lord your God will cut off before you the nations that you are about to invade, dispossess, and destroy. You will drive them out and settle in their land after they have been destroyed. Before you, Deuteronomy 13:15, you must certainly put to the sword all who live in that town. Destroy it completely, both its people and its livestock. Let's see, Deuteronomy 15:6, for the Lord your God will bless you as he promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. Deuteronomy 20:12, lay siege to that city, and when the Lord your God delivers it into your hands, put to the sword all of the men in it. As for the women, the children, the livestock, and everything else in the city, you may take these as plunder for yourselves, and you may use the plunder that the Lord your God gives you in whatever way you desire. This is how you are to treat all the cities that are at a distance from you and that do not yet belong to you. Deuteronomy 20:16, in the cities of the nations the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, do not leave alive anything that breathes. Completely destroy them as the Lord your God has commanded you. So folks, there's, I don't know, 20 or 30 more citations here that I could read, but I think you get the point. When you have a nation of people, you have a nation of people who for thousands of years, that this has been the food that has been fed to their hearts, minds, and souls, is there any mystery then why everywhere they have gone, putting these things into practice, that the Gentiles have reacted to them in the manner that they have? Okay? And folks, as bad as it's been, especially over the last 2 years with what they've done in Gaza and in Syria and in Lebanon, they're just getting started. And perhaps this is the most frightening and yet at the same time the most frustrating thing about dealing with all of this, is that people really seem to not be aware of this fact. Okay, they seem not to be aware of the fact that right now the continued existence of the entire planet has been reduced to a question mark. All of us are standing on this knife's edge between life and death. And in the midst of this, the kinds of conversations that should be taking place in order to generate some type of consensus, some type of understanding, and hopefully some type of policy or political action that would follow from that, it simply isn't taking place, folks. Everybody's talking about everything else that they shouldn't be talking about, and they're not talking about the knife to our throat and the gun to our head. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, folks, with our good friend Stas, who is with us, and who is going to be rendering his own opinion on this. Stas, I just read some very troubling citations from the Old Testament, which we as Christians are told is just as holy as the New Testament that contains the sayings of Jesus. What do you think about those citations that I just read? Do they have anything to do with Zionism today, or are the rabbis of Naturi Carta right that the two are completely opposite and different from each other?
I would say that what you just read is a declaration of war.
Genocide, not just war, genocide.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a difference, okay? There's a difference. When they say, we're going to kill all of you, you know, we're going to put everything to the sword, including your pets, okay, that's not a declaration of war. That's a declaration of intent to create genocide.
Absolutely. Something that almost untold millions of people ignore, especially...
Yeah.
Mr. Huckabee and people like
that. Yeah, he's one of them, yeah. But it's worse than that, Stas. I mean, it really is, like I said at the beginning of the program, anybody tuning in today to get cheered up should probably go somewhere else. The kinds of discussions that we should be having, we simply aren't. And now, I have to rely on you to fill in the blanks for me, because I don't, other than Glenn Greenwald and Tucker Carlson, and I don't catch every one of their programs, I have to rely on you to tell me what's being discussed out there. But on that note, Stas, I want you to just sit there for just a second. I'm going to play this soundbite that's going to be the launching pad for this discussion that we have laid out for us today. All right, everybody just sit back here and listen to this.
Iranians never told the bodyguards that they can't carry cell phones.
Somewhere Mike Yeagley's just hitting the table right now. God damn it.
I will say the one thing that I was really, really worried would lead to something terrible was when we decided to bomb Iran at the Israelis' behest.
Yeah. Now, why would we do that, John?
Well, there's a good reason why we would do it. Before it was done, I would have thought it was insanity.
Mm-hmm.
After it's been done, I think I've come to the conclusion that, all right, that wasn't so bad after all.
Really?
So, yeah. Listen, every president, from when I joined the CIA, George H.W. Bush had just become president, the Israelis asked us to bomb Iran. Every single president. No matter who the prime minister of Israel happens to be, you got to bomb Iran. You got to bomb Iran. You got to bomb Iran. And every single president said, no, we're not bombing Iran. I remember a couple of times when Obama... Was it Obama? Obama and Netanyahu got into shouting matches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that we didn't have an understanding or an appreciation of what an existential threat Iran was, or a nuclear Iran was. You got to bomb Iran. You got to bomb Iran. We would never bomb Iran, because our position was that would be the start of World War III. Because if we bomb Iran and maybe, you know, weakened the hold that the government has on the country, then the Chinese may have to come in, or the Russians may have to come in.
That was going to be my next question. Did this just prove that this situation, seeing as we did bomb sites there and nothing happened? Did this prove that the Chinese and the Russians actually don't really give a shit about Iran, or is that a little premature to say?
Maybe just a little premature, but I would say as things stand right now, yeah, that's the initial conclusion we can draw. The reason, though, I'm told, that Donald Trump decided to bomb Iran was that the Israelis said, for the first time, if you don't bomb Iran to take out these deep bunkers, we're going to use nuclear weapons. And they had never threatened that before. And so Trump said, bombing Iran might actually save us from the start of World War III if it keeps the Israelis from using nuclear weapons.
So according to your source, the Israelis told the President of the United States that if he did not use the United States military power to bomb the nuclear facilities in Iran, Israel, acting on its own, would use nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Do you see why there's a problem with that statement, John?
Yeah.
Because they've never admitted that they've had them.
That's right.
So you're telling me that they just admitted to the President of the United States that they have nuclear weapons and we still do not have them in the IAEA treaty.
Okay, folks. So what you just heard was a podcast that was broadcast a few weeks ago. I can't remember what the name of the fellow is who has that podcast. But his guest is a fellow named John Kiriakou, something like that. Kiriakou. Thank you, Stas. Kiriakou. I'm going to write that down. Kiriakou. Okay. He was a career CIA field officer, folks. Okay. He's one of these guys who's out there running high-level intelligence operations for the Central Intelligence Agency. Okay. He's not sweeping the floors there. And when he says, you know, that I have been told, we can assume, folks, that he has been told this information by contacts that he still maintains within the agency. Now, folks, I want to quote something here very quickly. I know it's a day of quotes. Listen to this. Today's program, .. President of the United States Donald J. Trump launching airstrikes against three Iranian nuclear processing facilities after promising, quote, no more wars for Israel. A betrayal of his campaign promises or something much deeper, darker, and more dangerous, such as a threat on the part of the warlord Benjamin Netanyahu to use nuclear weapons either against Iran or the United States if the President of the United States did not capitulate. Folks, that was the program description for the June 23rd, 2025 edition of The Ugly Truth broadcast, okay, right after the bombing of the Iranian nuclear facility, where we postulated that there was something involved in this, that something happened that forced the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, to do this thing that he really, really, really did not want to do. And we postulated that it was the threat on the part of the Israelis to use nuclear weapons and to mass murder 15 million Iranian citizens. Now, folks, I'm not bringing this up in order to sing our praises or to say we told you so. This is a very troubling thing. In the first case, this John Kiriakou, this former CIA field officer, this interview that he just gave, where he reveals from his very inside sources that the Israelis threatened to use a nuclear weapon or several nuclear weapons against Iran, folks, this should be the story on every news outlet, mainstream or alternative, across the planet. It's not just the biggest story of the year, it's probably the biggest story of our lifetime. And it has not gotten any discussion. Those of you who follow this program and follow the work that we do here will recall how, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, I interviewed, Alan Sobrowski, former director of the Army War College in Pennsylvania, and he stated on the program that everybody in the War College knows that Israel did 9/11. And that silly interview, folks, it was there was nothing to it, big deal. But it went all over the freaking planet, maybe even all over the universe. Millions of hits. There, if you do a YouTube search of that, you'll find that interview that I did with him, and it's on, I don't know, 1,000 websites, and some of these YouTube videos, they've been viewed a million times, and it's nothing. It's nothing, folks, compared to what you just heard from this former CIA field officer, who from his official sources has been told that the Jews were getting ready to mass murder 15 million people in Tehran, and yet it's not being discussed. This is a bad sign, folks. This is a very bad sign. It means there's something really, really wrong with the collective Gentile brain, that they don't react to important things like this. Okay? Now, you will recall, folks, when we did this program, my good friend here, Stas, and I were telling everybody, hey, everybody settle down, okay? Because there was this tidal wave of rage and fury that erupted after the president destroyed the nuclear sites. And everybody was saying that the president was a warmonger. He was trying to start World War III. He had broken all of his promises about no new wars. He'd broken his promises about America first. People like Scott Ritter were saying that the president was a war criminal and that he should be impeached and he should be thrown into prison. Well, folks, we just found out that the president did this in order to prevent 15 million people being reduced to nuclear waste. Why wasn't anybody else considering this? Why was it just two guys out in the middle of nowhere saying, everybody, let's calm down here, let's not get ahead of ourselves, you know, maybe there's something else that's happened here. There's something really, really wrong, folks, with the conversation that's taking place these days. Think about how much energy and how much time has been wasted since that event by all of these people with their websites and their podcasts and everything else, talking about how Donald Trump is a fraud and he's a warmonger and he's going to start World War III for the Jews' benefit. No, folks, he prevented World War III by doing this, and it's not something he wanted to do. Stas, what has happened to the world today that a news story as important as this, where this former CIA field officer is coming out and saying that according to his sources, the president was forced to do this because Netanyahu held a gun to his head in the form of a nuclear strike against Iran. What's happened? What's wrong with our world?
It's both unfortunate and fascinating. I will note to listeners that we game theoried this out during that time, as I recall. We were saying the president was under the gun to do that strike, and then Kariakou himself corrects himself, and he goes, oh, it's not that bad. You know, he put on a show for the, we'll call them the neocons, and it was a brilliant thing by Trump, but also he warned 15 million innocent people to get out of Iran.
Exactly. Yep.
I don't think if he was owned by Marion Adelson, he would bother to notify these people. In fact, he wouldn't have done anything. He would have let the Israelis go at it. And, you know, people got to realize this guy is a CIA officer, millions of dollars of training. He has been in the field. And his disclosures and comments have been invaluable lately. I mean, he's talked about, you know, basically how good the Israeli intelligence is, with basically like a warning for those who are listening carefully. And he went right in, and he's the man, by the way, who, you know, wouldn't really stand for torture.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what got him into trouble.
Absolutely. He towed the line. And so, and again, I don't mean to compare pundits, but his experience is more relevant to the what you might call this pre-war period than anybody else's, mm-hmm. that's making their information available,
mm-hmm.
in my estimation. And he has just called this out. The fact that it wasn't, you know, reposted in the way people do now. Like, you have a guy, Liberty Vault, and he redoes Candace Owens, and he redoes Nick Fuentes and whatnot. But there wasn't legions of guys taking that clip.
Yep.
So you had a warning from a CIA officer, and one that, in hindsight now, in examining the situation, is the only explanation that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Stas, go ahead. No, finish your thought. No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Everybody right now in the pundit game has made an accusation that it's all over, that Trump is a warmonger, that in fact he operated with Netanyahu and fooled Iran. He's fooled the Palestinians, and he's fooling people again, mm-hmm. continuously. And I don't mean to beat this dead horse, but I'm only doing
it. Beat it. Yeah. Like the song. Beat it.
Marion Nielsen is apparently the Svengali that controls everybody about behind the scenes. You know, and she's got a lot of money, but she does not have anything compared to Qatar, who is Trump's new best pal.
Mm-hmm.
So people aren't really realizing that. They've just given up. And I think it's, effective. And like you've explained to me, people don't want to lose any fans. They don't want to be the last one in the room to talk about things with real politics. So it's awesome. I mean, Kari Aku came out with this, and it, you know, it makes sense. I'm glad that the Tut was on top of it before he said it, but it confirms in my opinion, the only likely scenario for why,
mm-hmm.
in a short period of time, the president did this, took a big risk to avoid an even worse tragedy, or as you repeated on here, as Vance has said, Vice President Vance, and other people, the president is willing to do some little wars to prevent a huge war. Unless I miss my guess, not only the tragedy and crime and horror of, I don't have any other word to use, eliminating the people of Tehran with nuclear weapons, mm-hmm. I say that, you know, I can't say for 100%, but if they did use even tactical nuclear weapons, then I'm prepared to say that other powers might have reacted. Now, I don't know for sure, but I mean, if they did that,
this is what he said.
Yeah.
This is exactly what this guy said. He said, you know, that the thinking is that if nukes were used in Iran, that all of a sudden the terrifying instability that would come from that, you know, would it bring the Chinese into it? Would it bring the Russians into it? Okay, so. But Stas, it's actually worse than this, okay? Because, folks, do we really imagine for a moment in our most Pollyannic manner imaginable, that this threat to use nuclear weapons was just a one-off event on the part of Netanyahu? Do we really imagine, folks, that Netanyahu has not conveyed to Donald Trump, President of the United States, on multiple occasions his threat to use nuclear weapons in order to get what he wants? Do we really imagine that today the president, when he sits down with his national security team and his foreign policy team, that they don't factor into every decision that they're going to make, whether it's Gaza, whether it's Syria, whether it's Lebanon, Egypt, Jordan, whatever. I guarantee you, folks, at every discussion that they have where foreign policy, and especially foreign policy that it involves Israel, that one of the things that they have to do is that they have to war game, and they have to say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the chance that the Jews are going to use nuclear weapons in response to what we're planning to do? Okay, whether it's bringing the international security force into Gaza, whether it's strengthening the hand of Ahmed al-Shara in Syria, whether it's selling F-35s and tanks to the Saudis and to the Turks, they have to factor that into every decision that they are planning to make, is the threat of Israel's nuclear weapons. Now, why is this important, folks? Okay, we're not saying this to scare you, although all of you should be scared, okay? It's to put into better perspective what is really going on behind the scenes between Donald Trump and the terrorist Jew warlord Benjamin Netanyahu, okay? They're not the best of friends, folks. They're not BFFs. Trump is not his slave. Trump is not owned by him. He's trying to prevent the world from being incinerated in the way that the Jews believe that they are religiously commanded to do. Okay? And we have it, you know, this isn't speculation on my part, folks, or on Stas's part, our part. Okay? It was somewhat speculative at the end of June when we did the program. And we said, okay, we know that the president doesn't like war. We know that he wants to do a deal with Iran. How is he going to do a deal with Iran if he, you know, launches, you know, aggressive military action against them? And on top of that, the president, on his Truth Social account, told the people of Tehran, city of at least 15 million people, to evacuate. 15 million people, folks. Okay, and then in a news story shortly afterwards, he says that he called the planes back, the Israeli planes back, and then we said on that program, folks, what was on those planes? Now, again, we're not saying this to frighten you, folks, although you should be frightened. You should be angry that for, let's see, July, August, September, October, November, December, coming up on 6 months now, folks, the talk within the quote-unquote conspiracy movement, because there is no truth movement, folks, okay, there's a conspiracy movement. The talk for the last 6 months is how the President of the United States bombed the Iranian nuclear facilities unprovoked for no reason other than the fact that he wants to start World War III on behalf of the Jews. And the people who told you this, folks, whether they were on, I don't even know, who, I remember Ritter saying, I remember seeing something that Scott Ritter said, that Trump was a war criminal, he should be impeached, he should be thrown in jail, he should be brought up on charges before The Hague. I can only imagine that everybody else out there said some version of the same thing. And you should be furious, folks. For 6 months, these people, assuming that you tune in to what they have to say, for 6 months, these people have been feeding you a load of garbage, dangerous garbage. Now, why is all of this relevant now, folks? Well, because we have other things that are taking place that are occupying the time and the energy and the concentration of the President of the United States. There are other threats to use nuclear weapons, different kinds of nuclear weapons, folks, like blackmail, like the threat of bringing down the federal government, like the threat of flipping Congress and then the President being impeached and convicted. And it revolves around this business with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, before we jump into this, Stas, is there anything you wanted to add to what I just said prior to this?
No, this is excellent. And you were saying about monitoring the pundits. I'll just do a wicked, very quick breakdown here.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, truth movement, alternative media, conspiracy movement, whatever you want to call it, you know, they've gone kind of focusing on Charlie Kirk's assassination by Israel, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then it's causing a rift among these increasingly popular people between Nick Fuentes and Candace Owens over this. And it is good that they're focused on this stuff, but I would have to say, you know, events are moving fast, and things have moved on. And, you know, this, what you're talking about today, this main topic, is something that, you know, wasn't really picked up in any significant level.
Mm-hmm.
That's my report. Which I think, speaking for myself, and I think you would agree, that's the main focus of the ugly truth. You know, this survival is the key.
Yeah, because we have people. Yeah, because we have a group of people who are out to mass murder us. Okay, and there's one guy and his administration, and of those we can only count on a few who are, you know, firmly in his camp. I would include the vice president, and I would include Pete Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard. But in general, folks, he's still dealing with the deep state. He's still dealing with people who are loyal to Netanyahu and who will do what Netanyahu wants. And this Epstein thing is a big part of it, folks. This is another nuclear weapon that Netanyahu is threatening to use in order to destroy the president and everything that he is trying to do in keeping this world in one piece. Now, we have a soundbite, folks, that we're going to play here. Actually, we have a couple of them. So I'm going to ask you, Stas, to just hold on there for just a second while I bring these up. Okay, here's the first one, folks, and here we go.
I thought I could help you, Senator.
Hagen? Listen, Hagen, I did not...
No, it's all right.
I didn't do anything.
It's okay. Very lucky. My brother Fredo operates this place. He was called before anyone. Now, if this had happened someplace else, we couldn't have helped you.
When I woke up, I was on the floor. And I don't know how it happened.
You can't remember?
I passed out. I fix it. Game. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, God. Oh, God. I don't know, and I don't understand why I can't remember.
You don't have to remember. Just do as I say. They're putting a call into your office. Explain that you'll be there tomorrow afternoon. You decided to spend the night at Michael Corleone's house in Tahoe as his guest.
I do remember she was laughing. We've done it before. And I know that I could not have hurt that girl.
This girl has no family. Nobody knows that she worked here. It'll be as though she never existed. All that's left is our friendship.
Okay, folks, so that soundbite should be familiar to all of you out there who pay close attention to organized crime movies. That's from The Second Godfather. That's the scene where Senator Pat Geary has woken up after he passed out. He's in this hotel room, and sitting next to him is the lifeless dead body of a prostitute covered in blood. And Tom Hagen shows up, and he tells the senator, it's okay, we're going to fix this for you. Nobody's going to know anything about it. All that's left is our friendship. Now, folks, to some degree, actually not to some degree, folks, I'm going to say, I will go out on a limb here, and I will say I'm willing to bet 100% that what I'm about to tell you is accurate. Okay. The Epstein thing is not just about powerful and important people being caught molesting underage girls or boys. It's much worse than that, folks. It's about powerful people being in these circumstances and not just engaged in illegal sexual activity with underage children, but then the murder of these children as well. Okay. Now, what proof do I have of this, folks? I don't have any proof, other than the fact that this is something that absolutely terrifies the President of the United States. It's so bad, folks. The Epstein files are so bad that if just 10% of what's contained in them, of children being not just raped but murdered as well, okay, if it comes out, it will cause the collapse of the U.S. government. Okay? Now, is this because Trump is on tape doing this? No, folks. The president has been involved. He has been part of the U.S. intelligence community for most of his adult life. This was my theory, folks, going back 10 years ago. I wrote about this. There's no way, you know, and I base this on the premise that there's no way that somebody with his money, with his contacts around the world, he meets with presidents, prime ministers, popes, princes, there's no way that somebody with that kind of international reach is not going to be approached by the intelligence community, the U.S. intelligence community, okay? He's simply too valuable as a source for information. And, folks, we now know that the president was indeed working for the U.S. intelligence community, and one of the things that he was working on was the Jeffrey Epstein file. This is why, folks, you have seen him in all of these pictures with Epstein. He was there spying on him. And how do we know this, folks? How do we know it? Stas, how do we know it?
Because Speaker Johnson came right out and said it.
Absolutely he did, and we're going to play that right now, folks. Listen to this.
He is horrifying. The whole thing a hoax. It's been misrepresented. He's not saying that what Epstein did is a hoax. It's a terrible, unspeakable evil. He believes that himself. When he first heard the rumor, he kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant to try to take this stuff down.
Okay, I don't know if you could hear that. Were you able to hear that, Stas?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't. It didn't come through very well. We've got another one here, folks. Hold on just a second. And it is right here. Hold on. Here we go.
The White House is denying President Trump wrote a birthday letter to Jeffrey Epstein more than 20 years ago. The birthday note was released yesterday by the House Oversight Committee, along with more records from the Epstein estate. Now, the message apparently bears the signature of President Trump and is typed with an outline of what appears to be a naked woman. The note was first reported by the Wall Street Journal in July. At the time, the president described it as fake, and he's now suing the outlet. This comes as House Speaker Mike Johnson is walking back comments he made that President Trump was an FBI informant in the Epstein investigation.
I don't know if I used the right word. I said FBI informant. I'm not sure. I wasn't there. This isn't my lane. I'm just repeating what is common knowledge and has been out in the public for a long time. President Trump was never a hindrance to the Epstein investigation. He was trying to assist in that. He is disgusted.
CBS News correspondent Natalie Brand joins us from the White House with more on all of this. Good morning, Natalie. Explain this walk back from Johnson and the letter that was just released.
Well, attorney, Errol Speaker Johnson, you heard him, he acknowledged that maybe he used the wrong word, but he was referencing comments that were made by the attorney for the victims that we heard from last week over on Capitol Hill, saying that, you know, years ago, President Trump, when he was not a politician, was helping in this investigation. Now, Speaker Johnson, calling him an FBI informant, acknowledged that that maybe was not the correct terminology, but trying to make the case that he was not hurting this investigation that launched years ago. Now, as for this new document released late yesterday by Democrats on the House Oversight Committee, the top Democrat on the committee saying that he wants President Trump to tell what he knows about the case and release all Epstein files, something that a number of both Republicans and Democrats have been calling for. But again, now that this document is in the public domain, pretty much aligning with what the Wall Street Journal had reported weeks ago, the president, the White House, continues to deny writing the letter. In a new statement, the White House press secretary saying it's very clear President Trump did not draw this picture, did not sign it, saying his legal team will continue to aggressively pursue litigation. And in a post by the vice president, J.D. Vance says he's questioning why Democrats were silent about Epstein for years. A number of other Republicans on Capitol Hill also coming to the president's defense. Take a listen.
Okay, folks, so there we have it, okay? From the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, says that the president has been working on the Epstein thing from the very beginning, okay? And he says, you know, it's just common knowledge. Everybody here knows this. Who else knows that Donald Trump was helping the U.S. intelligence community investigate this this espionage program on the part of Israel? Who else knows about that, Stas?
I'm going to go out on a limb and I would say Benjamin Netanyahu is saying that.
Absolutely. Benjamin Netanyahu knows that Trump was part of the U.S. intelligence community and was part and parcel of what was probably, folks, a vast investigation involving Israeli espionage and blackmail of U.S. Important U.S. people, but principally political people, using as the method of blackmail not only the sexual abuse of children, but their murder as well. Okay, so folks, what we're saying here is that there's a lot more going on, a lot more involved in this than what you're being told, either by the mainstream media or the alternative media. It's much worse than what they have led you to believe. And no, the president was not involved in this, folks, other than the fact that he was there acting as the eyes and the ears of the U.S. intelligence community and finding out how deep this espionage operation went. I'm going to go out on a limb here, Stas, and I'm going to say, or at least I'm going to posit, theorize, that MEGA, M-E-G-A, that's the term that was picked up by an NSA wiretap, I think it was either NSA or FBI, between Tel Aviv and the Israeli embassy, I believe that's where it was, that MEGA, that was referenced in Gordon Thomas's book, I think it was Gideon Spies, where they were talking about using MEGA as this source to find out what Bill Clinton was planning to do with regards to Yasser Arafat and the Palestinian state, that MEGA was actually Epstein, okay? That it was either Epstein or Epstein's network, okay? So why is this important, folks? Well, what we are witnessing here is the President of the United States, who is now in a situation similar to what took place at the end of June when he was forced into military action against Iran that he did not want to do in order to prevent World War III. And that is what this entire Epstein thing is about as well, folks. Remember that when this Epstein bomb went off, Netanyahu had just arrived in Washington, D.C. And just prior to his arrival, the president was quoted saying, "I intend to be very firm with him over this Gaza issue." And then all of a sudden, while Netanyahu is still in town, the president is holding a press conference, and sitting alongside him is his attorney general, Pam Bondi, and they say that there's nothing there, that the entire Epstein thing is a hoax, you know, a complete reversal of what he had been saying for years, including on the campaign trail. Okay, so why would he do this, folks? Why would he do this when Benjamin Netanyahu is in town? All of a sudden, he's going to do this thing that he knows is going to go off like a bomb within his own base of support. And it did, folks, okay? If what we have been told, if what we've been led to believe is true, Marjorie Taylor Greene, his biggest supporter in Congress, is going to be retiring here in just a few weeks from Congress over the Epstein issue. So what's going on here? What's really going on here? Stas, start filling in the blanks for us.
Is this the President of the United States and any of his supporters are so boxed in and where they can move? We've got blackmail of all different types, as we probably
the worst
about.
Type. The worst type.
We've got nuclear blackmail. We've got, snuff film blackmail, all types of crimes that are setups, as you showed. And we can only assume that the president's enemies can do infinitely more than the Corleone family in terms of technology and their ability to blackmail. So, and it's definitely Marjorie Taylor Greene having to take this action's got to be related to these activities.
Absolutely. And just so we can clear it up for the folks, Stas, because I can already hear the thoughts that are going through some people's minds out there saying, oh, what, are you trying to tell me that Rand Paul raped some kid and then killed him? No, folks, no. In the Godfather scene, okay, this senator, the Corleones knew that he had a condition, because when he first met Michael Corleone, he was taking these pills, and I'm sure that they found out, okay, these are probably heart pills, he's got some kind of heart thing, so they knew exactly what to put in his drink in order to get him to pass out so that they could then do what they needed to do, which was to kill this prostitute, and then he wakes up and finds himself sitting next to the bloody body of a dead prostitute. So you have people in Congress, folks, who would never think of engaging in any kind of activity of, you know, molesting children or whatever. But nevertheless, you know, one of their donors says, hey, I'd like to take you on a fishing trip, okay? And we'll talk about some projects, some lobbying projects that we'd like to see done. And they get on this plane and they give this person a drink. And the next thing you know, he's out. He's out like a light, and instead of flying to this, some place that they're going to go fishing, you know, in North Idaho, instead they fly to Epstein's Island, okay, on this chartered jet. Mr. Senator or Mr. Congressman is knocked out cold. They bring him in, take off his clothes, put him next to this body of this dead kid. Okay, he wakes up. Next to this dead body, he's done nothing, okay? He's done nothing. But he knows, folks, there's no talking his way out of this. Okay, there's no defense he can make, just like the senator. He says, I know I could not have hurt that girl. So I think, folks, we think something along the lines of what I just described to you is what has taken place. It's not just kids being sexually assaulted, it's kids being murdered. And Benjamin Netanyahu is holding this over the head of the president. And I think, folks, again, I'm sorry to have to keep formulating this in that fashion, I think Netanyahu has already gotten signed resignations from dozens of members of the House and Senate, all of them on Trump's team. Already has signed resignations, they just haven't gone public with it yet. All that Netanyahu needs is for five or six members of the House, Republicans, Trump supporters, and an equal number in the Senate to resign. And then guess what, folks? Congress has just been handed back to the Democrats, and they could then at any point, at any time they want, initiate new impeachment charges and this time get a conviction against the president, maybe even the vice president too. And guess who's number three, folks? Guess who steps in if both Trump and Vance are simultaneously impeached and convicted? Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson becomes the president of the United States. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, a slavish supporter of Netanyahu. He says, you know, we are warned. I think that was the word he used a year or so ago, you know, that we are threatened, that we have to support Israel. The Bible threatens us that if we don't, that bad things are going to happen. So, folks, when you tune into these programs and they're talking about how the president is a child molester and he's afraid that he's going to be, you know, the dirt's going to be brought. No, folks, it is an entirely different picture than that, and it is 1,000 times worse than you can imagine. Stas, your thoughts?
Absolutely. If Johnson goes in, we're going into Ukraine.
Yeah.
We're going into Japan. Maybe Pope. Who knows at this point? I wouldn't be surprised. Or the war can start from either front. But Johnson is still working with Trump because this is an incredible leverage war.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trump's enemies are the most powerful in the world, but he's got some power. And it's literally going back and forth every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what people aren't
every day. Every day.
Trump is a puppet and Trump is a shill. Trump is evil. Trump is completely subordinate.
He's not America first. He's not America first. He's abandoned. Right, right.
Abandoned.
They don't realize
real power. Things like that. Endlessly.
Yeah.
And yet they haven't played out. And give the Iranians credit, in my mind. There's some kind of back channel.
Absolutely, yeah.
They're working together. Otherwise, as soon as that launch happened, they would have launched.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
They know how dangerous this enemy is. They are.
Yeah, I'm sure that Trump told them.
Yeah.
I think that this was his way of, even if he wasn't, okay, let's just assume for the sake of argument that he was not conversing with them through back channels. As soon as he tweeted, or, you know, on his Truth Social account, told the people of Tehran to evacuate the city, he was communicating with the leaders in Iran. He was saying, the Jews are coming after you with nuclear weapons. Okay? So it's much bigger, folks, and it's much worse than we can possibly imagine. And this is why, and just for the record, folks, okay, my good friend here, Stas, and I don't come on here to bash other people, okay? I think that most of these people are genuine in their wanting to do the right thing. But, you know, they have a responsibility to the public, to the best of their ability to bring the public the truth. Just like a restaurant, okay, they have to get a clean bill of health from the Department of Health. Okay, it says, okay, this restaurant here, they are complying with all of the rules for safe handling of food. It's okay for you to go and eat there, okay? Likewise, folks, these people with their websites and their podcasts and all the rest of that, who are telling you that the president has abandoned America First, that he's a tool of Israel, no, folks, they are not telling you, they are not finishing the puzzle, they're not putting the pieces together in a way that represents the truth. It's much, much worse than any of us have been led to believe, much worse than any of us can even imagine, okay? We're doing this as public service, folks. It's not that we're sycophants for the president. Look, there are things that I wish he could do differently, not would do differently, but could do differently, okay? But he can't. As Stas just said here, he is boxed in. He is dealing with dozens of nuclear weapons aimed at him, whether it's what took place in Iran, whether it's Epstein, whether it's this new thing with the drug boats coming from Venezuela, okay? The economy, okay? I mean, look, we're $38 trillion in debt, and the only reason that we're still alive is because of the countries that are holding on to that debt, who have bought bonds and are financing that debt for us. You know, they have a knife to our throats as well. So, folks, what I'm saying to all of you out there, okay, is don't join in on the chorus of screeching against him. What we have here is a situation where the plane has been hijacked by terrorists. They've got a knife to the throat of the pilot. He's doing everything he can to keep from crashing this plane into the side of the mountain like the terrorists want. So if it happens to get a little bumpy on that flight, don't blame him. Stas, your thoughts?
The president is up against, as you've told me off podcast, things that we can't even imagine. He knows things that we can't even imagine. That goes true for the supreme leader over in Iran and for Mr. Lavrov, yeah, and Mr. Putin, not to over talk.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think I, for one, I'm tired of people not having some positive aspects into looking into the Gentiles who have worked out some things to keep us from annihilation. Say, for instance, Iran and Russia are showing good restraint, even though the media is painting them as devils. Somehow they haven't hit the fail-safe thing and gone suicide on us, you know, or I don't know what I'm saying, you know, attacking, losing all hope.
Yeah, losing hope and lashing out. Yeah, lashing out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Qatar has stepped up. They're the new Switzerland, because I do believe Switzerland has abandoned her neutrality and jumped in on the Ukraine mess.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talk about every podcast, nobody's making the link between the Ukraine war and the Abrahamic Accords and the Iran-Israel war at all. Not connecting them at all. Not even the McFuentes fellow. No way. They're inexplicably linked. And and you ran that soundbite of the Israeli.
Horrible, horrible Jew. Horrible,
yeah.
Jew.
Threatening Russia, a nuclear power. And I think that any Jewish people listening or contemplating these things, you know, you got to step up like Witkoff and maybe even Kushner and other people, because, it can lead to nuclear annihilation of the earth, and that you indicated that's a part of the Old Testament scripture anyway.
That's
something that they want. So that's what I would say. And also, I think every time we talk on here, I go through that theme of my worry of, you know, Russia feeling so cornered, for instance. That they will lose it, or even the Middle East, you know, if entirely all hope is abandoned? You know, would everybody go into a suicide bomber mode of their version of it? Would they load up the hypersonics and go for it all the way?
Sure, sure.
Leading to the Samson option type of scenario. So, and that's I just always feel that need to talk about that every second because that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It all leads back to that. What Kariaku is saying leads back to that. What all these things are saying, and like we talk about every time, the avenue to this danger can come from any country. For instance, obviously, the hot button right now is Venezuela. I guess the Trump administration has just seized a tanker. There's a myriad of reasons why they're going in there. As you have discussed, we don't know what's in those boats. And truthfully, we don't know the statistics. And they're saying, well, Venezuela isn't the main conduit for drugs. How do we know? It switches all around. You know, obviously, the Sinaloa cartel is huge in Mexico, and the current Mexican president is not a Gentile at the moment. The Mexican people have actually kind of stepped up, and they're writing graffiti on the wall. It's I don't want to repeat it, but they know. They know. If anybody thinking, you know, us Gentiles going to start getting together, starting realizing a German guy is a Mexican guy is an Iranian guy. This is we're probably not really going to get anywhere until people start realizing that they all got a bullseye on them. Whatever type of Gentile they are. Because with the type of weapons we have now, I don't even think the Eskimos are safe up there. This idea that you're going to go somewhere and be safe, or even the elite people, you know, I mean, I'm really drifting here, but I hate this idea that people go, oh, yeah, the elite have these bunkers. They ain't going to make it if we have the kind of war with these things. I don't care how deep you go down or whatever. I mean, look at the damage you're just doing with the conventional fight in Ukraine. They're talking about, I think Trump said something. I said like 27,000 guys dying in 3 weeks or so. Even that type of thing, you know. And the nuclear power plant. So this is all on Trump's head. And yes, but it's almost as if maybe, I'm putting this out there, that these people who do this pundit work, they haven't computed the how dangerous the situation is. Now,
That's it. They don't. It's like the storyline in Jaws. They knew there was a shark. They knew that it was a bad shark, but they didn't know how bad. Okay. Remember that scene in the movie, Stas, when they have the town meeting right before the July 4th weekend, and they asked the chief of police, they said, are you going to close the beaches? And he said, yes, we are. And everybody's in an uproar because they said, well, we're going to have no business. You know, we're going to lose out, you know, on all of that revenue and all the rest. And they're not focusing on the fact that there's this shark now that has eaten two people, okay? And so this is a similar situation in which we find ourselves. You know, we're like the townspeople in that movie where we know there's a shark, but we don't know how bad that shark is.
Oh, by the way, I would totally agree with you that the Epstein is mega.
Yeah,
and that's used as a group name too, mega group as well. Of Mr. Robert Maxwell, the father of Ghislaine Maxwell, that was the mega group, and you know, they got everybody. I mean, he got everybody with his software deal, with the back door in it, and his daughter, along with her associate, they got everybody with this Epstein files, and just like the so-called Grim Beeper thing. That's a long time planning, and they were holding that card ready in case they encountered any threat, and that threat is businessman and President Donald J. Trump.
Yep.
You ran a clip a while back about he believes for an eye for an eye. the magazine article. He's got the dove in his hand. It's been a concern. Nuclear war has been a concern. He was a fan of President Reagan. Nuclear war was actually a fear of President Reagan. And as I always have to double up and circle to every web that's coming out of my brain, the lessons he learned from Pat Nixon and Richard Nixon about the other threats going on, monetary threat. Nixon was trying to get off the Fed. So that's yet another bomb that Trump is dealing with. So these things are swarming him, and yet, again, all the pundits, anybody who's got the guts to go out there and talk about the Israel issue, it's great. I guess that this stuff is so serious, I don't really care if I'm giving the pundits a hard time, though, at this point. You know what I mean?
Have to, because they have become part of the problem and not part of the solution. Okay.
Right.
When they're adding political pressure to the president, they are doing the dirty work of Netanyahu and Israel. This is what Israel wants. They want political pressure on Trump so that he capitulates, just like he did with Iran. And so he just gives up on all of this peace in the Middle East stuff. Okay? It's a lot worse than what people are telling you, folks. It's a lot worse. It's a lot worse than what Stas and I are describing right now. Stas, we are at the end of the program here. I think that this was a very important, and it went a lot better than I thought it would, because trying to pull together all of these various things and doing it basically alone, I hate to say that, folks, but as those of you who follow this program, you know, I did get an email from a listener recently, and he said, I have a very hard time accepting the fact that there's only one outlet on the entire planet that covers the kind of information that you do, he said. But despite the fact that I have a hard time accepting that, I have no choice but to accept it, because that's the way that it is. And it's a very unsettling place to be, folks. It's a very unsettling place to be when everybody else seems to be running in the wrong direction, and they're doing this to the detriment of us all. Anyway, Stas, we're at the end of the program here. What do you want to tell the folks before we say goodnight?
Despite this negativity, I'm impressed by the people of Qatar, you know, becoming like a new Switzerland peace area. I hope they don't get bombed again. I know that sounds crazy. Who would bomb that rich nation? Who knows at this point? What we've seen.
Well, who would bomb them? The same people that bombed them before.
Yes. So what we've seen them do there, then they already have. And nothing's off the table now. You know, I mean, we're not even 1 year. I don't think we're even really 1 year yet in the Trump administration officially.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen drones sniffing for nukes. Sorry to extend this program.
It's all right. It's fine.
I'm just going to go off here for a bit. We have seen Signalgate that almost took Hexet down, which is still lingering.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the journalist who was accidentally Signalgate contacted is very hostile to Mr. Trump. So is another journalist named Wolf, who's in emails with Jeffrey Epstein discussing how to get Trump. But no, President Trump is the only one on Little St. John Island. And everybody, that's another thing that, you know, nobody's gone to what you're talking about, the blackmail from the clip of the Godfather movie. They're only into what celebrities were there.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump is the only one there. He's very bad person, nasty, sexist person. And not what the actual purpose of that operation is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because if they just wanted to have fun, nobody in the world would know that that stuff happened.
Sure.
There would be no witnesses. Because I'm sure it's safe to say that those activities take place worldwide and no victim is allowed to be realized under any circumstances. I think they have the ability to cover up such atrocities completely. So that
Stas, do you think Epstein's dead?
I honestly I don't think so. I agree. I'm not going the Sandy Hook thing that nobody died there. This is a high enough level thing.
Yeah, that Trump would want to keep him alive. Yeah.
Trump would want to keep him alive, and it would have only Trump's people and the Israeli intelligence could break out a guy from or kill a guy in a federal lockup like that.
I think Epstein is alive and well someplace, and they are using him to get more information, because this thing, folks, this isn't just a scandal. Okay. You know, what members of Congress have handed over the most sensitive, high-level intelligence imaginable out of fear of this Epstein thing? And I'm talking going back 20, 30 years. Okay. This thing is extensive. It's not just make sure you vote that money for us in this year's appropriations or else, you know, we're going to spill the beans about waking up next to the body of this dead kid. We're talking about nuclear codes being given to the Israelis, folks. Okay, it's that serious. So, if I were the president and I knew that Israel was coming to kill Epstein in his cell, I would get him out and I would fake his death so that the Israelis have nothing to look for. And in the meantime, Epstein is giving them more actionable intelligence in finding out just how deep this goes. Stas, you are a true friend of humanity and a great thinker. We owe you a ton, and we hope that you'll be back with us here very soon.
Indeed.
Stay there for just a second. I'm going to close out the program, but I want to talk to you off the air. Okay, folks, so that was a very heavy discussion, obviously, but a discussion that needs to take place, folks. You're not being told the truth. None of us have been told the truth for a long, long time. That's why we're in the mess that we're in, folks. And but that doesn't mean that we have to lose hope, you know. Something good's going to come out of all of this, folks, okay? Yeah, I think that we're going to have to go through hell before this thing turns around. But, evil will not have the final say in all of this. Remember, folks, it is Christmas season. You know, this is the season where the entire world, everybody, the Christians, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, everybody except the Jews, okay? Everybody is full of expectation and warmth and just good cheer over the person of Jesus Christ, over his birthday. And so, you know, we have to hold true to what we were told by Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, that for the sake of the elect, that these horrible days will be shortened. And were they not shortened, no flesh would survive. This is what he said. And so, in the meantime, folks, we just keep doing our part. And we keep working for that miracle, because what else can we do? Anyway, folks, that's it for today. Wednesday, October 10th, 2025, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, this edition of the Ugly Truth Broadcast. We wish all of you out there a very blessed Christmas season. 2,000 years later, folks, and it's still going strong. There's just something about the person of Jesus Christ that you just can't keep a good man down.